Welcome in to another edition of the Tapping the Keg Podcast, episode 540, I think. Really lacking on my episode numbers, Mitch. But we'll get that cleaned up for next week. Mitch is here. We're back. It's been a 3-week hiatus, I believe. But we are back in the mix. What's going on? How you doing?
I was trying to think if it was too, I've lost track of time in general. But
The last time, it's hilarious, the last time we taped, the Bucks would lose to the Grizzlies that night, and everyone was ready to go meltdown city.
Oh, yeah.
So while we are taping after the Bucks lost to the Warriors, it's a little bit different. They've won 6 of their last 7, played the Lakers tonight. We're going to talk about potential finals matchups in the West, as well as if we're concerned about the Bucks offense. So it's a little different tenor about the Milwaukee Bucks now. I was wondering if people were going to fund me to stay in Europe. My guy Cap'n tweeted out or he sent an Instagram to me. He goes, "Bucks are playing well, just stay in Europe." And I was like, you know, I don't know if I could do it. I could not do, like, I think living in Europe would be very interesting, but as a sports fan, it's hell because all the games are on overnight basically. So it's like you don't have a sleep. Yeah, 3 in the morning. You either have to get up really early, or you got to stay up late. It's one of the two. And yeah, for really all the games, when I didn't watch anything, I didn't watch 1 ounce of American sports for 2 weeks. Really, the only things I watched were the FC Porto game. That was about it.
And you live to tell the tale. I'm actually kind of surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I would look, like, one of the kind of the most fun things, like non, like just weird fun things, was every morning getting up in the morning and just running through box scores. Like, it was kind of like when I was a kid and I'd read the newspaper as a kid and I'd look at box scores. Like, that's kind of the same vibe. Like, I would just like, was like, okay, I woke up. Let's see what happened. Who did what? Like, it was a great feeling to wake up on Saturday when the Bucks had beat Minnesota. Like, that was fucking awesome. I was so excited when that happened. Like, I just fist bumped in bed. Yeah. Did you have, and you were way up there. You were in the captain's deck.
We were in the back row, the top row, baby. The top buckle.
Top titty.
However, we did move down for the last the last quarter.
Yeah.
And, it was kind of janky in that we didn't really have a spot, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of stood at some like eating tables at Target Center.
Yeah.
And, until we got kicked out of them and then at 2 different ones. And then for the last few minutes of the game, somebody I went with is a season ticket holder there. And so what he did was he sold his tickets, I think, but he bought like four in a row for all of us to go. Mm-hmm. And that's why we got stuck way up top.
He
did one of those things where if somebody was going to ask, he was going to whip out, like, he has something on his phone that shows his tickets, his normal tickets.
Yeah. Yep.
And if somebody were to say something, he was going to just show that.
Yeah.
So we ended up like finding a couple empty seats in the lower bowl and just watching the last couple of minutes. And
nice.
Yeah. I mean, that was a nice win. And I mean, they hadn't really lost the game since we last podcasted now until last night, which we'll get into, but I mean, it helps. They didn't play for a week, but it was mostly all good.
They needed that break, not only for just like the mental of it, but they needed to practice. Doc and Rex Kleiman and Dave Yeager needed time to figure out what all things went wrong with Adrian Griffin. And the more that comes out, the worse Adrian Griffin looks. It's been pretty rough. I mean, after the Clippers game, Doc saying, "Oh yeah, I wondered why we didn't run any sets that Dame did in Portland." And I was just like, "What? We didn't run one?" Like, that to me, like, just blew my mind. And I don't know if that's Doc flapping his gums a little bit or what, but man, just to have to ask herself what the fuck
Well,
Adrian Griffin was doing.
the fucked up thing about that is they had the number two offense under Adrian
Right,
Griffin.
right.
But we'll get into that too as
Yeah,
well. So
yeah, yeah,
I don't want to
yeah.
get too far
No,
into it,
no.
but
Well, yeah,
you're
but
right that there has been a lot of and it's bound to happen that
right.
people Doc Rivers loves running his yapper. There's no
Oh,
question
yeah.
about that.
No doubt.
Probably more than any coach I've ever seen in the history of pro sports.
That's a little excessive.
Well,
I
I
mean,
mean,
I don't know. Like Jerry
he
Glanville
hasn't.
back in the
He
day.
well, true. I mean, you think about those guys. Yeah, those guys are morons too. But I
Right.
mean, Doc has not found a podcast he didn't want to jump on. I'll say
Right.
that.
Yeah, that's true. I think though it will, don't you think though that might benefit the Bucks in the playoffs when we've seen Giannis not necessarily always get a fair whistle, and Doc, unlike Bud or even Griff a little bit for a short time with Griff, like Bud really wouldn't call out the officials. I think Doc will 100% let these guys know, like, hey, my guy's not getting the calls that he needs, and I think he will really protect Giannis more than Bud will in the media just for what we discussed.
Well, Doc's getting paid way too much money, so
Yeah.
I don't think he really needs it. So maybe he won't be. I guess it depends on how much you buy into the effectiveness of that stuff.
Right.
I think there's some of it. I think it's good for like once a series or like I'd say at most, where there does seem to be in a playoff series. If there's a game, there's inevitably going to be a game that's one-sided, and that coach, pretty much the coach of the team that gets screwed, pretty much can, has an option of, do I want to go after the of my hands? And yeah, it did seem like Bud sat on his hands quite a bit, and certainly a little more private than Doc is. So
Yeah.
maybe we'll benefit them in the end.
Yeah, no. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, obviously a long way to go. We have a couple months left, but with the Bucks on the West Coast, with the Bucks playing and played a lot of the finals contenders in the West in the last pretty much month and then into this month, I thought it was apropos to kind of look at, the finals matchups and look at, what would be the hardest. And really, there are probably right now, we would say, four teams. I know Karl-Anthony Towns just went out with a meniscus injury, but I think he probably is back for the playoffs. And I also kind of low key, I wonder if they're better. Like, Towns is a good
That's what I was thinking.
scorer, but are we sure they're gonna like miss Towns that much? We'll
No,
see.
I don't. I mean, I don't think they will.
They were back and forth with the Pacers. I didn't see if they won, but so you have Denver, you have Minnesota, you have Oklahoma City, and you have the Clippers. All three of those teams, the Bucks have played. They play Oklahoma City later this month. And then to make it six, so we both have three, we got to choose between the Lakers, the Suns, and the Warriors. Now, the Lakers are and Warriors are in the play-in game. I understand that. But there is, I think we can all say that out of those three teams, and not including the Pelicans or the Mavericks, we could see maybe one of those two of those teams making a run. So who do we eliminate from that? Do we eliminate the Suns? Do we eliminate the Warriors?
You're crossing off the Mavericks and the Pelicans already?
Yeah, I don't. The Mavericks are terrible defensively. There is no way. I know they're playing right now, and they'll probably come back to bite me. I just don't think that they have the acumen to make it to the finals.
Sounds
So.
like the way people have been talking about the Bucks.
No. That's not true at all. I mean, if you want to include them, like, look, if you want to say the Pelicans, then
No,
fine.
I'm just fucking with you. But I mean,
Okay. No.
it is that the people are, oh, the Bucks, they're not interested on defense. They don't have the personnel,
Look,
I mean.
it's a little national media Murph. I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, it's definitely NMM. Like, no doubt about it. Who signed his baby thank you card, NMM, which was great. Love that. And so, like, I get that. I get that, but at the same time, I just think if we're really thinking about this realistically, who did we end up with in the semifinals? The Lakers and the Warriors. We didn't end up with the Kings and the Grizzlies. You know what I mean? So
Yeah.
it's like it just seems like those guys have the playoff acumen. If I had to eliminate one of those three personally, my vote is for the Suns, just because they are so bad in the fourth quarter. They have one of the worst point differentials in the fourth quarter of a above 500 team in the last like 20 years. They blew, I think, I want to say it was like a 20, they had like a 20-point lead in that game against Denver. They ended up winning, but it went to overtime and easily could have lost that game. I don't know. I just can't see the Suns staying healthy for really 3 months, basically.
I would probably eliminate the Lakers.
Okay. All right.
I 1,000,000% would have been the Warriors until I watched them kick the fucking shit out of the Bucks last night. So it's really hard to totally eliminate them because fun fact that they told you a few times in the broadcast, that was the first game the Warriors have been fully healthy since the end of November. So, which is, also our luck.
Right.
So, I don't know. I really didn't believe in the Lakers or the Warriors. But if I had to pick one, I think it's the Lakers that probably are the of those three teams
I
are probably
will,
the least likely.
as our you are our more of our NBA guy. I think I like the NBA, but not as much as you. I will seed the Lakers. I think Darvinham, not, Darvin is family, but he's not a great coach. I think when you put look at coaching, you go Steve Kerr. Yes, the Lakers have size, but they don't have much after LeBron and AD, and that's just kind
Right.
of it. And that's been the story of the year. LeBron now has this ankle thing. I don't know if LeBron will play tonight. I think it's really, be interesting. It'd be kind of a bummer if both him and Giannis missed the game tonight, but I think it's certainly on the table, and we'll certainly have to see. But yeah, I think eliminating the Lakers is fine. I think that is okay. And so basically, the game will go with, hardest to easiest in terms of like where it's like, yeah, this is going to be a seven game series. We're just sweating everything out. Like, it's just pulling our hair out for really 2 weeks. And that's where kind of we'll leave it. So I'll let you start. I think I know who's going to be the number one.
Number one best matchup.
Or hardest matchup, most difficult.
Hardest matchup.
Yeah, we're going to go hard to easy.
I guess it's Denver.
It has to be. Yeah.
Because, obviously facing Jokic and Murray would be a bitch over a series. I do think size-wise we're fine. But you just know that Jokic would get Lopez in foul trouble, and it would just be then we're fucked for sure. Because Bobby ain't, holding Jokic's jock strap
No.
defensively. I guess you'd have to put Giannis on him at that point, and
Probably.
then you're asking a lot,
Yeah, that would give it would be it'd have to be a big game series. It would have to be a big Damian Lillard series because Jamal Murray is not exactly a great guard in terms of defense. And I think, the thing that the Bucks have working for them against the Nuggets is Aaron Gordon. They have one of the they're one of the only teams that can actually kind of guard Aaron Gordon, right? They have the size to match up with Aaron Gordon. Like, he's an awesome,
Size
like,
and athleticism.
yes. And so I think that works to the Bucks' advantage. I wonder, could Jokic hang with Giannis for seven games in terms of stamina? Like, I think they could run Jokic ragged. Like, I do wonder. Like, I know he's just kind of a specimen and one of one, but I don't know. That's a lot of wear and tear. Everyone talks about how much of a bitch it is to play the Bucks. And I wonder if that would sort of creep up there. But yeah, I just feel like it has to be Denver. The altitude too is an issue that you have to deal with. And yeah, I think I think it's Denver all the way. There's no doubt kind of in my mind that Denver is the one that you don't want to see. But I wouldn't say I'm scared of Denver either, though, if that makes sense.
No, I mean, split the series with them this year. You know, got beat pretty comfortably in Denver and won comfortably in Milwaukee. So
Right.
it certainly is, you know, would probably be a pretty freaking good series.
Oh yeah.
Although I don't know, were the Bucks fully healthy in Denver?
Did
That's
they?
right,
No.
right before Middleton got hurt.
Yeah, they were. I think they were healthy, but it was Doc's first game, so I think it was just like it was kind of just this randomness of a basketball game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And I think they hung around a little bit and then just kind of, you know, let go of the
Right.
rope. And
Right. Exactly.
the thing about here, with Denver in Milwaukee was they weirdly like didn't put their starters out in the second half, or like a couple of
Yeah,
them.
bitch made.
KCP got hurt.
Oh yeah, that's right. KCP goes down. Jamal Murray got hurt in that game, so they kind of just they white flagged that game just like the Celtics did.
Yeah, a little bit. So,
My
would be interesting to see if they would have put the starters back out there for the second half. But yeah,
my
so go ahead.
my yeah, my pick is, and it's gonna sound weird after what the Bucks did without Giannis, but I'm gonna say the Clippers. And the reason I'm gonna say the Clippers is because of Kawhi Leonard. And if Kawhi Leonard's healthy and he's in the playoffs, the dude is fucking awesome in the playoffs. He's been awesome. He is one of the most clutch guys that we've seen. Kind of to me, it's like what Jimmy Butler does, but he's not loud about it, you know? And I think I could argue it's better. And so I don't want to see that guy in a seven game series. I do think the Bucks have an advantage in size. I think Giannis would have an unbelievable series, but I think it would just be Giannis and Kawhi going back and forth the entire series.
Yeah, it'd be a 2019 revenge opportunity, if you
Right.
will,
Right.
in that scenario. And the Clippers are probably better than the Raptors were in 2019.
Yeah.
But I'm just trying to think who would be like the Van Vliet of that series for the Clippers.
Like Amir Coffey or Norm Powell. Norm
Well,
Powell.
yeah,
Norm Powell
true.
kill he didn't kill the Bucks on Monday, but Norm Powell always finds a way against the Bucks.
Yeah, he's first team all Bucks killer for
Oh
sure.
yeah, 100%.
Has been for 6 years.
No
And
question.
well, but Norm Powell was on the Raptors then too, so
Right.
I believe.
Yeah, I don't know. Van Vliet, who would be the Van Vliet? That's a good question.
It
I mean,
wouldn't be Westbrook, obviously.
no, and Westbrook, yeah, has a broken hand, so I probably would be back by the
Like
finals
I mean
though.
Amir Coffey would be a decent nominee for that. Just some random fuck who
Right.
you don't
Terrence
respect and
Trey Mann, or is Trey Mann or Terrence Mann?
it's
Trey Mann.
Terrence
Yeah, I think
Mann.
it's Terrence Mann. Trey Mann plays for Oklahoma City. That's right.
He
Got
plays for
my
Charlotte. He got traded.
Oh, that's right.
And he's a shorter guard.
Yeah, I got my man's wrong. So no, I
Yeah.
just
As far as the Clippers, I mean, you know, then you have the Harden angle too, you know, watching that motherfucker flop
oh yeah.
for 7 games or hopefully less. Would be a lot to handle. You know, Paul George is a great shooter. I don't know how much more I respect out of his game at this point personally,
Yeah.
but if he's open, he'll hit it. So
Yep. Yeah, I think there's definitely there, and Ty Lue is a really solid coach, and
yeah.
I think that that'd be a tough one to go up against. Who you got for next? So we have Clippers, and we have the Clippers, and we have the Nuggets so far.
Timberwolves.
Okay.
No, sorry.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna go with Oklahoma City. It's really hard because we have not played them yet this year. But I think that Oklahoma City, their youth, I think, would be tough to and their kind of their athleticism, and SGA is kind of on a different level than what he has been the last few years. And he's, become a legitimate MVP candidate. And, I think finding someone to defend him would be kind of tough. That's a
Right.
lot of Malik Beasley, unfortunately.
Right. And Pat
If,
Bev.
unless AJ Green starts like he should,
Larry Bird, our guy.
there's no chance because, I'm frankly, it's amazing AJ Green plays at all. But, so if finding someone to guard SGA would be tough. And, Chet wouldn't really scare me that much. I think they're that we can should be able to crush them inside. But I just think that the kind of the Bucks have struggled historically and certainly at times this season with these young teams and getting up and down the court. And I know the transition D has been better of late, but really since Doc took over. But I don't know. OKC scares me a little bit. I don't know if they end up getting there. That's the thing. And maybe that's why OKC and Minnesota have fallen in the draft, just because they haven't really, neither of those teams have many, guys with super deep playoff experience or have gone through the pains
Yes.
of, so I don't know if either of those teams get there, but yeah, give me
I
OKC.
so OKC was more down on my list. I think what I looked at it is I just think the size of the Bucks would overwhelm them. Nurkic had 31 rebounds against them like last week. I don't know how they would keep up. And then the Lakers bullied them the other night. Like, I don't know how they keep up with the Bucks size. But I agree with you on the athleticism part because it's like a Indiana on steroids, if you will, right? And we had so many problems with Indiana. And it just seems like a better version of Indiana is Oklahoma City. And so I think your case is certainly warranted. I'm just kind of saying where I was at.
I'm not sure OKC is like as much up and down necessarily as Indiana, but like pace. But yeah, the point still stands. I mean, it is, that's a pretty good comparison. I mean, you have, SGA is Haliburton, kind of a taller combo guard, lead ball handler type that, we're gonna have a tough time probably slowing down unless they put Giannis on him or something, get creative. But
Right.
yeah, again.
Yeah, the other my pick, man, I'll say the Warriors. Like I feel like you have to say the Warriors. I think Golden, I just think looking at it and thinking about it, they have the championship pedigree. Saw what happened last night. I do think, the Bucks will ultimately overwhelm them. With the size, Giannis, who knows how healthy he was yesterday. I don't think Trayce
Yeah.
Jackson Davis is a fucking Giannis stopper. I didn't hear that today, but you'll hear that at some point, with the way our media
I wouldn't
goes.
go that far. I mean, but I knew he was gonna have an impact. It's just,
I almost tweeted out that fun fact, we drafted Chris Livingston and then Trayce Jackson Davis is the next pick. But I was like, dude, it's late second round. Like, you can't be that
Is
mad
that
about that
true? That
at it.
you shouldn't have told me that, because that sucks.
Or no, was he the pick before? He might have been the pick before Livingston. But
I'll look
regardless.
that up. I'll look that up while you go.
Okay. The Warriors, it's just Steph Curry. It's like facing Mahomes in the fourth quarter, like watching that, but for seven games, and just making sure that you have to prevent Steph or the random Klay explosion or Draymond doing something fucking dirty. Like there's just so many people. Like Kuminga, like I really like Kuminga. I think Kuminga has went to another level. He's kind of saved my fantasy team, which kind of stinks because we can't stay healthy at all on our team. But like I think there is a lot there. I think Kuminga is really talented. And so I think that Warriors team, to the kind of your point about them just getting healthy, I don't think they'll be in the play-in. I think they end up, getting into that like six line or even maybe the five line when it's all said and done. Now watch them lose to the Bulls tonight because that's just how basketball works.
Yeah, so Jackson Davis was the pick right before Livingston.
Okay. All right. That makes it better.
But the Bucks, I think, were had their hearts set on Livingston. So,
Right. They made a promise to him because of fucking Rich Paul. So, like, yeah, they could have easily traded up for Trayce Jackson Davis. But that,
that's
so
going to
it's
be
like,
a good draft class, man.
oh, yeah.
2023.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely. And it'll be so funny how, like, 2024 is terrible. Like, there was a guy I was with who's not really that. I was at the Marquette game yesterday, and guy we were with isn't really in tuned and was surprised that Oso Yadara is going to be a top, first round pick. And I was like, yeah, they have a good tournament, maybe even a lottery. Like, it's a bad draft. So, all for some of these guys, it'll really take is a good tournament. And then you're going to be seen in a lot higher regard because the draft is so trash.
yeah, every year there's a handful of people that, kind of
Oh,
have a decent tournament game or two and shoot up the standings.
yeah. Right.
So, or shoot up the mock drafts.
Derek Williams, the Bucks have also been famous for taking him. Dante DiVincenzo, DJ Wilson. Shout out. So, all right. And let's wrap it up. We have remaining are Minnesota and the Suns.
I Minnesota would probably be my next pick, just because I guess making the case for them would be, does Anthony Edwards, go nuclear in his, I guess, first postseason
Right.
run? Do is Gobert a son of a bitch to play against, to go to try to get to the rim on, I guess. Would the Bucks have some sort of small ball lineup in their back pocket that would, that would force Gobert off the court? You're not taking Giannis off, so I think that would involve him at the five, which I think is probably okay. But then, Gobert's still out there, and I guess I really don't know if he scares me that much, even if Gobert's on the court. So I'm contradicting myself. But they do have McDaniels, who is a pretty damn good wing defender.
Right.
And then Towns, I guess, would be the kind of their X factor, I mean, kind of their Lillard, right? Where it's like he's got to be really good in order for them to get where they want to go.
Yeah.
And he'll have to be coming, I guess the injury kind of, hurts their case a little bit. We'll see,
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
considering Towns has missed chunks of games throughout his
Right.
career. So,
Yeah. I also think the interesting thing, if Minnesota is able to get to the finals, they will have to tone down them just being shitheads, and they just do some dumb things. They just there are, they do some things that are just like kind of just bad decision making and bad, jacking up threes. And I'll be curious to see if you'd see that, and are able to do it. I think they have the talent. But it's just there is their fourth quarter stuff is also concerning. Just similar to the Suns, they have their own fourth quarter problems. And I'll round it out with the Suns. I don't I like we talked about I my case against the Suns was that I don't think they'd stay healthy. Let's just say they do. I mean, we've ran it back. We've done it against Durant. We've done it against the Suns. I think the matchup is fine. They have no size at all. It's just Yusef Nurkic. That's it. And Bol Bol. Like, it would, I think the Bucks would have their way inside. And I also think, like, Devin Booker and Bradley Beal are not world beaters in terms of their defense. I mean, now they have Royce O'Neal, fine, but could Royce O'Neal really keep up with Damian Lillard and Chris Middleton for an entire series? Probably not.
I mean, it'd be 2021 all over again. I mean, it
Yeah.
basically would be, you're right, Nurkic, who is probably even has less of a chance against Giannis than DeAndre Ayton did.
Right.
And we saw what happened there. And they do have a different coach this time around, but
Yes.
who maybe would try to do something different. I don't know. Weirdly, like Durant is okay against Giannis just because he's long enough.
Right.
But I don't know if they'd ask him to do that in a 7-game series.
Yeah, I think they
Yeah.
would, it'd be in spurts, but I don't think it would be, you know, it would be, it wouldn't be the like primary focus for what they want to do.
Yeah. And offensively for Phoenix, like I think Booker scares me probably the most. Just, you know, we watched him cook a little in the finals a couple years
Yep.
ago, and you know, he's just that much better now. So that would be, you know, if they're fully healthy, I mean, they have a lot of firepower. Even our old buddy Grayson Allen is like leading the league in 3-point shooting.
Yeah,
I
what
mean,
the fuck?
it's,
I mean, that's dumb.
well, I mean, Malik Beasley was second until he can't buy a fucking shot now.
No,
So
well, although Malik Beasley revenge game's on deck tonight. He hates the Lakers. So he tonight's a Malik Beasley game. Like, bet is over in three pointers. I'm telling you, it's a Malik Beasley revenge spot
he
tonight.
hates the Lakers because
Yeah.
they traded for him when Scottie Pippen Jr. was on the team.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
Did you watch? I doubt you did, because why would you? And no, any most people wouldn't. But I watched the analysis podcast with Malik Beasley, and he kind of touched on that. He was
Did oh
like,
on that he didn't like the Lakers or Larissa?
no, just that he, well, Thanasis was asking him about kind of his career and how he, why he chose Milwaukee and how he ended up, you know, kind of the background. And he was like, yeah, you know, for those that don't know, I had a teammate on the Lakers that I don't, I think he said that I don't talk to, I believe is what he said. So I kind of had to figure out what that was. I had to kind of remind myself. Also, Beasley went to jail.
That was,
Like it must have been in the off season or something.
That was when he was dating Larissa. I happened to be on the elliptical this evening, and the Real Housewives of Miami reunion where Larissa is featured was on there. There's a lot of plastic in that room. Let me just tell you.
Yeah, I don't really, I can about imagine.
That was a this is gonna derail us, but one of the big issues in Europe was my wife being catatonic that she missed the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City at the Bucks game.
Yeah, what a random event. I don't
So
know. I'm sure that.
I have a I, there's a reason why. Like the one of their women who's on the show, she loves Greece. She is a Greek Grecian. She does Greek Easter. Like she is like diehard Greek. So that's probably why. And there is a drag queen here in Milwaukee, Trixie. Gosh, I can't remember her name. Trixie, I forgive. But anyways, she was doing something, and so that was part of it too. And one of
Yeah.
them is close with that lady, and so it was just like it was a combination of things. But yeah, my wife was unhappy that we were gone when the housewives were here.
Well, NBA teams love to have celebrities at, sit courtside so they can take a picture of them and put them on their social media accounts.
Oh yeah, like the Knicks or
Oh
the
yeah, Knicks are
Celtics.
bad.
Celtics have like
Nets.
one or two celebrities. Yeah, the Nets, they're like, oh yeah, we're still in New York too, guys. Don't forget about us.
The Celtics have some, you know, tatted up white boy scumbag rapper
Donnie Wahlberg still just dripping
that.
the last ounce of fame out of his life. Robert Kraft with his new wife and his basically state propaganda documentary. It's all there.
Yeah, I won't be watching that.
No, well, I'm just fascinated by the fact that it's all like basically it's shit talking Belichick, which is kind of hilarious. But anyways, so the Bucks, their offense, it's not been good. It's been for as good as the defense has been, it's kind of sacrificed the offense. And the Bucks only scored 90 points last night. Partly due to having a, what was it, a 9-point third qu fourth quarter. It was ugly, to say the
Yeah, I mean
least.
that's it, I shut it down after Draymond made back-to-back threes with
Yeah,
like 6 minutes left.
you gotta. I mean, you have to. So right now, in the last 15 games, which is it basically kind of Doc. Well, it's all Doc, but it's not the entire Doc era. The Bucks are 100 or 113 over 100, which is 20th in the NBA over that time period for offense. For reference, though, for defense, they're sixth. So it's clear that they are sacrificing a little bit on offense for their defense. Also, in those 15 games, Giannis missed the game. Dame, I think, he missed some time. Middleton has missed time. So it's been kind of helter-skeltery. So it leads to just concern level. Are you like threat level midnight where you're like sounding the alarms? Are you like, dude, this is fine? Or are you like kind of in the middle?
No, I lean towards it's fine. I thought it was worth a discussion just
Totally,
because
absolutely.
it's, for all the points you laid out, I mean, it's just the defense has been a lot better, but there's still, there's times in every game without Middleton, who rolled his ankle a month ago and has not played at all. I'm not sure if he's getting time off here or what, that's getting a little PTO in here before the end of the season or what's going on, but they're taking their sweet fucking time, and that's fine because they're playing pretty well, and you obviously want him healthy for the playoffs. And there's no doubt that, when you get to the start of the second quarter of a game and Dame's on the bench, it's Giannis and like Bobby, and Bobby's been awesome offensively the last few games, but it's like Giannis, Bobby, Pat Connaughton, Pat Bev, who is atrocious offensively. I mean, he really is PJ Tucker. I mean,
Yeah.
if and from my lips to
With
God's ears, right?
PJ
But
Tucker, PJ Tucker of the podcast,
yeah, where I can picture it in June when the Bucks have eliminated the Celtics, and we're in the finals against Denver, and I can hear Simmons on his podcast talking about PJ Tucker, or Pat Beverly's not good. He's 0 for 4, and all he does is shoot corner threes. It's like, well, stop watching the box score, first of all, or reading the box score, watch the game. And anyway, when it's Giannis and four bums, essentially your four bench guys, it gets pretty bad. I mean, it reminded me, and you saw this in the Golden State game on Wednesday. Like, it's just Giannis ends up just putting his head down and runs into four guys, and it's like, and tries to get a foul, or is going to get one called on him, or turns it over. And that's just, when Dame's out there with him and Middleton's out there with him, I mean, then things are working like they should. And I also don't love the Middleton with the bench units, but at least like you have a competent offensive player out there, and he will help. And I think that basically, yeah, that pretty much the stretch that the offense has gone in the tank and the defense has gotten better, Middleton's been out. So, I mean, put two and two together.
I agree with that. I think Middleton's going to help a lot. I think he's going to solve some problems. People aren't going to be able to either, double team Giannis, double team Dame, because Middleton will be there and they'll basically have that second option. I don't agree at all with the people who say Middleton should come off the bench. I think that's
Yeah, I don't get that either.
I think that's a clear, are you a Bucks casual or not? If you're a Bucks casual, you want Middleton to come off the bench. That is, to me, like, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, but it's just like, you got to watch Chris Middleton. Like, that's where we don't, sometimes fans don't appreciate Chris Middleton enough. He does a ton with Giannis on the floor. Giannis is so comfortable with Chris Middleton and knows where Chris is going to be. Chris gets to his spots with Giannis. Like, and that's the same with Brooke. Chris and Brooke have a great chemistry together. And so you gotta have Chris
Yeah.
Middleton with that lineup.
I mean, all of that, plus it would help if Jay Crowder wasn't ass.
Yeah, I was
If
gonna, I mean, Jay Crowder.
he hasn't made a shot since Halloween.
No,
So, I mean,
Jay Crowder is shooting 35% from the field, post All-Star break. It's the only person that's Shooting worse than him is Thanasis and Danilo Gallinari.
Now due to his 3-point percentage, it's probably like 10. So, I mean,
Jay Crowder, 23% from three since the All-Star break.
23. So he has made one.
Yep.
Interesting. I have not seen it. So must have been in the kitchen when that one.
Vince is like, I need to see that, Jay. I need proof. I need proof to fund the weekend. That Jay actually to be yeah, you're a real fucking hater here. So Jay Crowder had two threes against Charlotte on the first game. He had a three against the Bulls and he had a three against the Clippers.
Yeah. No, I mean, obviously he's made some, but my
I'm
point
kidding.
is,
I'm messing with you. You're right. I'm just being a dick. No, you're right. He needs
me too.
To do more.
I mean, I'm just saying that, you know, he, I don't know. I feel like last season he was fine to good from 3-point land, and now it's just been a struggle pretty much ever since he got hurt. You know, he's been back a while now, and
I wonder
it just
if
hasn't seemed to come around.
Not to bring back PJ Tucker, but I wonder if it's a little bit Tucker-ish where he's exerting so much defensively because in the starting role that it's just sacrificing his offense. So that's even more reason to bring Jay Crowder off the bench and say, all right, we just need you for a couple corner threes and you got to hit those. And yeah,
I do think that Crowder has started pretty much anywhere he's gone. I mean, until he got here. I mean, he was a starter. He refused to come off the bench for Phoenix, basically. That's
right.
What happened.
Right. So. I just wonder, but I mean, you get old, right? And then just it doesn't work as well as it used to. I don't know. I might be making an excuse for him too. AJ Green's the guy, I think, though, that we all are clamoring for more. We all want more AJ Green.
The secret weapon.
Derry Bird. As Jimmy said on Twitter yesterday, Pale Ellis. I like that too.
That's a good one.
Like it's like we need more AJ. Now, is Doc hiding AJ a little bit? Is Doc saying, okay, we know like this guy's gonna be something. And we just kind of want to sneak him around and just say, all right, we're gonna wait to kind of unleash him. Almost keep ask, if you will. We don't know. But I need more AJ Green. I think he just does a lot, and he's an amazing shooter compared to what we see out of some of the guys from the bench.
He's an elite shooter with a quick fucking trigger, and like he gets that thing out, and he's like he competes on defense. You know, nobody's gonna accuse him of being Bruce Brown.
No,
but. Or excuse me, who am I thinking of? Bruce Bowen.
Bruce Bowen.
And but he's like, I don't know, he's bulked up a lot, I feel like, and like it's at the point where he's like got an NBA body and can like he can stay out there, you know, and makes the right play. And I mean, there's you know, I feel like at this point, if it's Malik Beasley or AJ Green, I mean, I'm not sure what my answer is.
Yeah, no. I mean, I agree here. I'm
the people
not
who want who like. There's people I see on Twitter, obviously not very like them very recently, but like we're like, man, we got to figure out a way to keep Beasley. It's like, why? There's fucking 50 of those guys.
No,
I mean,
it's,
I understand. I understand that he's had a good year shooting, and he's not, you know. But you can find those guys anywhere. I mean, you're not. We can give him a Bobby Portis contract. I don't think so.
No, I mean, look, this is exactly like this is basically going to be Giannis's kind of arc. And also, if AJ Green's ready next year, AJ Green's your two guard, right? Like, I think let him compete for it. Maybe AJ Green is what you thought Grayson Allen would be. Not to use the white guy comparison, but fine, it's there. And like, maybe that's what it is. And save the money too. Like, John Horst, sneaky. Signed AJ Green to like a 3-year, like $1 million deal, basically like bare minimum shit, and has him through 3 years now. So there you go. And that saves you a ton of money to go spend elsewhere and not waste it on Malik Beasley.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think the offense will be all right. I think that this is a tough stretch, right? And if Giannis isn't healthy, I don't know what they'll do with Giannis tonight. I think a lot of people want him to probably sit. I think for Giannis, he felt good enough. And then as the game went on, he was like, fuck, this kind of hurts. And I don't know, maybe he takes the weekend off in LA, rubs some shoulders with Oscar parties. In fact, we have a 12 p.m. start time in LA. Should be illegal on a Sunday when they have a Saturday off. We are gonna like that whole room court will smell of liquor from everybody. It'll be so hungover.
Yeah.
Got
Yeah,
Harden.
Grammy, Oscar weekend, right?
Oscar weekend. Yes, Oscar weekend.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's scary. I mean, as far as Giannis, like maybe I think Bob Meyer said on the broadcast that coming out of a timeout, it wasn't over, but it was probably like in the third quarter after the Bucks had cut it to six. And then Golden State went on their run after that. It was probably like the first time out after that. They were probably down double digits again. He goes, Giannis looks angry at the timeouts. And I was like, all right, Bill Simmons. And it's probably because he's hurt. I mean, he probably wasn't like he wasn't, he ain't getting blocked twice in a row by some fucking rookie if
Right.
he if he's if he's 100%.
He just didn't have the lift. I think that was the thing you saw on Book's Twitter a lot last night. And also too, I hope I never have to hear a Warriors game with Bob Myers ever again. Don't need that. I don't need
Yeah, I mean,
state. I don't need state-run propaganda.
it's one of those things, he knows every fucking person in that organization. I mean, what do you think? Where he was their GM 9 months ago. So
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
whatever.
Do you think so? This weekend predictions. Do you think the Bucks 1-1? Do you think they sweep LA? What are we looking at? Or do they 0-2 and we're a three-game losing streak and everybody freaks out again?
I'm not going 0-2. It's 1-1. I mean, they probably beat the Lakers. I hope, but we'll see. If LeBron doesn't play, if LeBron and Giannis sit out, I mean, that's kind of a wash.
Yeah,
So,
absolutely. Then it's just a Disney versus Dame instead. I was still fine. I mean, that's still gonna pay the checks, but it loses a little bit of luster. But
yeah, for
still, I
sure.
mean, it'll be interesting to see, what happens. I agree. I think 1-1's very reasonable, and then just beat Sacramento on Tuesday and get 2-2 for the West Coast trip, and that's perfectly fine. All right, let's wrap up today's show with the Green Bay Packers. We are a week away from free agency. It's going to be a crazy week next week with Big East tournament and everything else going on. And I want to talk kind of like splash. Like, we don't necessarily need to talk about guys, but like, what do the Green Bay Packers have to do to consider it a success or making noise? Obviously, we remember the Ted Thompson era where it was like, will they make a move? I think the Packers are going to do something. It seems like all the tea leaves, I think if they don't do something, I think people will be wildly disappointed and the pitchforks will be out again for Brian Gutekunst. But what do they have to do, or what's the thing that it's like, all right, now it's like considered like job well done. And we feel good about the team heading into the draft.
First of all, I mean, yeah, you're right. It's crazy how it's the rebuild's over. I mean, it's
Oh, yeah.
it's time to go. We got our guy at quarterback, and it's
Oh, yeah. It's
time to
all systems go right now. I mean, the Packer hype is going to be pretty unreal this summer. Like, it's going to be. They're going to have to manage expectations. Like, I think we've already talked about that earlier this offseason, but it's going to be difficult for Jordan Love, for the team in general, and how they handle that, I think, is going to be really, really important. And I think now is where you kind of can add a couple veterans because they will help sort of say, hey, it's just bullshit. Like, it's fine. And there's a lot of There's a lot of potential options out there, especially in the safety market, which is just,
Yeah,
it's
that's
absolutely
where I mean that's where you got to go. I think
right.
if you're good at Kunst, I mean that should be the free agent class is pretty impressive, and it seems pretty obvious to me.
Yeah, it does it. I think if you get a safety and maybe you get a backup running back, I think that for sure is a success. I think if you get a linebacker and a safety, I think you just got to do, I think it's like two moves. I think two moves kind of is that. So even if they make a trade, right? If they, so I've seen something flown around like the Chiefs want to trade L'Jarius Sneed. I'd be a little nervous that the Chiefs want to trade somebody personally, because they're the world champs. They're back-to-back champs. They want to get somebody off their team. Is that a cap reason, or is they just think like, yeah, we got the best of him. He's never going to be this good again. It's like trading with the Tampa Bay Rays. And but
Yeah.
if you're like, if they trade for L'Jarius Sneed, right? Total example, or they make a trade for somebody else, and that's the move. Plus getting somebody
Now
in free agency.
he got the tag, right? But he got like the
Yeah,
transition
transition
tag or
tag.
whatever called.
Yeah,
So
exactly.
he can seek a trade or whatever they, you know,
Right.
whatever they want to do. But so he would be specifically Sneed would be a 1 year deal, a 1 year rental.
I think, yeah, I think he would be 1 year. It'd be a 1 year deal for L'Jarius Sneed. But I think for a
Obviously,
guy like
yeah.
Xavier McKinney, it would be like you'd actually like sign him and get that as a deal. And that's been a guy that's been heavily rumored because former Alabama coach is now with the Packers, his defensive backs coach. So you wonder how much that is legit.
Yeah. Well, he's 25. I mean, we
Oh
like
yeah, he's a
that
young
number.
guy. Yeah, absolutely. So
There's some pretty good defensive backs out there. I mean, I think you're pretty much spot on with that. It's safety, probably running back, and then I would say inside linebacker. Although they are expected to have a 4-3. So, I don't know if I guess we assume Devondre Campbell's going to be gone.
yeah, I think so. I think he'll be a post
Or
January.
can they get him to restructure or something? Or what are you thinking
I
with that?
think they get out of it if I remember reading it right, because the cap is so funny. I think they can basically after June 1st kind of adjust his and get out of his contract basically. So I think he'll be a post June 1 release. And the linebackers. It's weird with linebackers because there are some big names where you're like, okay, there's Devin White from Tampa Bay, right? But how good is Devin White? Bobby Wagner is old. He's 33. Eric Kendricks is 32.
Patrick Queen is small.
Patrick Queen is small, who is the guy who everyone wanted to draft over Jordan Love. People forget. Oren Burks, we've went through that, and he got roasted. In that game against who is it? Packers. Did the Packers roast Oren Burks? Oh no. Lions. I can't remember. Anyways, doesn't matter. Like Oren Burks, not good. Or maybe the Super Bowl. Doesn't matter. Just I don't know how many good linebackers there are. I think really what's gonna be interesting to see is like what guys fit Jeff Hafley's system. And Jeff Hafley, could say like, "Hey, look, I want to build with young guys," and I think it would be a really tough sell for the Packers to just say we're going to go young again, and we're not going to bring in anybody from a veteran side of things, especially when they made a point to say, "Okay, we're firing our defensive coordinator, getting a new guy in. We, they've made strides already. Like, why stop here?" And then it's like, then you kind of open up. You can do a lot in terms of draft where it's almost, I wouldn't say it's house money, but you have a lot of chips to play with where you can do what you want and not necessarily say we have to fill a need. You can more draft the best player on the board.
Yeah, right. I think that's kind of what, in my opinion, in the NFL you should be doing is, unless you have, a bona fide, legitimate franchise player at a premium position, maybe, a la quarterback, maybe you don't take a quarterback in the first round, which happened recently, I think, if I remember correctly, to some team decided to do that. I forget who, but oh yeah, the Packers. And then, or like, you know what I'm trying to say. But
Right.
otherwise, if you're, if you, got some solid players, I probably wouldn't worry about receiver as a priority at this point, unless Justin Jefferson decides he wants to come be a Packer, then maybe you make some moves there. But quarterback's pretty solid. Offensive line, they do have some free agents, but I feel like nobody that's you're gonna miss, right? I mean,
No, yeah.
Nijman's a free agent, John Runyon's a free agent, right?
Yeah, there's been
But
some smoke around maybe bringing Runyon back, which I don't hate, right? Like, to have depth at the position is fine, and he
sure.
comes on a cheap deal, like, whatever. Like, that's.
I don't think you have to have, a Pro Bowl caliber lineman at all five spots. I mean, you can have kind of like what they've done, I guess, historically, or not historically, but maybe the last few years, where you have, two young guys at each spot, or like, of them, most teams carry what, nine linemen, and
Right.
a lot of them are, most of them are versatile. It's a great thing about sports these days is they expect players to be versatile, and that's nice because you can allocate roster resources to other spots outside of the offensive line. I mean, you can get by with eight or nine linemen on your active roster, but I think I certainly want a great left tackle ideally, but other than that, like, you can probably rotate with solid guys, and they've done a pretty good job of that. So I mean, I don't want to say John Runyon's an NPC, to use an internet
Yeah.
term, but there's a lot of those guys running. I mean, Sean Ryan played
Oh yeah,
in
Sean
the
Ryan, I
playoffs, didn't
think
he? So
I think Sean Ryan is your right guard, and I think that that's it. But yeah, if you feel like you want to,
Zach Thomas, right tackle.
yeah, if you want to compete, if you want to have some competition, if you will, and you say, okay, we'll bring in Runyon. I mean, the funniest thing that might happen is they release Bakhtiari this afternoon at like 4 o'clock, because that would be very Packers, and that would be quite the podcast jinx. So,
Yeah.
but
I mean, it could be the right move.
yeah, I don't. The Bakhtiari thing's so interesting because it's like I don't. I think we talked about it before, but it's like I don't mind having extra talent at tackle. Like, it's not a bad thing to have it. I understand the contract's heavy, but if, like, at the end of the day, you think it's better to keep the contract and it's like you release them next year and it gets a little bit better, the contract's going to keep getting better the longer you keep them. And if you still think that there is something left in that tank, or then yeah, try to see if you can make it happen. I don't know. You never know with guys sometimes. Maybe I hold out hope for David, and maybe that he comes around, and it's, the mental part of it, the hurdles get over it, and he's actually, ready to play for a full NFL season.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's one of my favorite players, so I'd prefer that as well. But I don't know. It's been a rough 2 years with him.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt. I was gonna say, I've been flipping around while we've been podcasting, and I was watching Washington State, and there's a guy, their big guy, out there. Looks, he could be my long lost younger brother. Like, he has a beard, he brown hair, he's Australian. I looked him up. His name is Oscar Plouffe. I'm gonna share my screen with you here to show you Oscar. Doesn't do well. His photograph does not paint the the picture that I want here, but it's I'll tell you what, like you look at this guy and you're like, okay, like this guy is just, I mean, what a specimen. 6'11". They don't have his weight. He's a big boy. He's a brisket. You know, you can tell. But I mean, when do you know of a guy named fucking Oscar?
Oscar Clough from Sunshine Coast, Australia.
Yeah, maybe. So, also
He
small
has
thing.
the Jock Landale haircut too, like
Oh yeah.
the kind of
Oh yeah.
mullet, like
Right.
faux hawk-ish type
Yeah.
thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's there. It's good. Speaking of college basketball.
You should get one of those.
Oh yeah, I'm sure work would love that. I can't, but see, here's the thing with me. Like, I can't grow my hair out like that. Like, when I grow my hair out, it just grows up. Like, it's not even a fro. It's like a chia pet, and it just sort of stays there. I don't get that length underneath. But yeah, that wouldn't be a bad one.
For sure.
All right, last thing. I hate that the Nuggets are wearing their 5'5"-280 in their matchup against the Celtics. They should be wearing their whites at home. But that's just, you know, me being an old man.
Yeah, I guess so. I think they wore those against the Bucks too.
Yeah, I don't know. Those are stupid uniforms. I do not like those.
In one of the games they did. I don't
Yeah,
remember.
well, I'm sure we'll complain a lot about uniforms when we get into Brewer season and the whole Fanatics disaster. So
Yeah.
we'll wait for that. You know, who knows who has the biggest hog on the Brewers? We'll sure have that discussion probably halfway through April.
Yeah, we'll get our take that for data.
yeah, you know, it's just the internet's a weird place. You know, you see a girl celebrating Steph Curry shot, and then you find out she's a high class hooker. You know, it's just
Yeah.
it's how it goes.
I
So,
don't know how you found that out, but I don't doubt that you have, because it was, I tried searching for it on Twitter and it was like, okay, there were, or like I searched like Steph Curry and it was,
yeah.
I saw the picture then, because I didn't know
Yeah.
what picture you were talking about.
Yeah.
And then people were like doing the zoom in screenshots of the guy, like look turning around looking at her. So.
That guy is so on the hot seat. Like that guy, I don't know, man. Like he better have a wife that doesn't watch sports. Like there is
She was
like,
probably also screaming something obnoxious, and he was like, "Look at
oh
this
yeah.
fuck.
Oh
Who's this
yeah. That's
fucking bitch?"
They see, this is where, like, we've talked about this in the past, Mitch, but this is where life just imitates Curb Your Enthusiasm sometimes. Because this woman's probably just screaming, you know, first time she's been that close at the Chase Center and going nuts. And he's like, what's with this fucking lady? And then he gets caught looking at her tits. And then the Curb music plays. And he's like, no, I was yelling at her. I wasn't trying to look at her tits. I was mad. I just wanted her to shut the fuck up.
Exactly. And it turns into a whole episode. Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Unbelievable. That's great way to end it. But yeah, you don't worry about how I found that, Mitch. That's that dark web shit. You know, that's what we do. We move in the shadows.
That's Reddit.
Yeah, that's where it was. That's where I got it. Red-handed. Red fucking handed. Wow. Damn it. Just got called out there to end the show, end the week. That's tough. All right,
Yeah.
well, we'll be back on Monday solo. I
Russell
will be
Wilson, you are a Packer.
no, absolutely not.
I just saw something about him, so.
I will. I'll be back Monday. We'll see what happens. If there's any football news, certainly talk about the Bucks. Marquette, see if they'll break the 2-game losing streak as they head to Xavier on Saturday.
Yeah, turns out you can't win without your senior point guard. Tough scene.
I mean, yeah, he's really good, man. Dan Hurley, which I thought was kind of patronizing, was like, oh, that's like playing the Chiefs without Mahomes. I'm like, all right, dude, like, you know, just take the fucking win, all right? Like, UConn fans, all they do is bitch. They were so mad at Shaka for being on the court. They are such.
I did notice there was a part in that game where I was like, Get off the fucking court, dude. Like, it's, I know what you're doing and I don't like it.
Yeah. I just
Nobody
I
else does that. I'm just, that's
well,
all I'll say.
I will tell you, it's I also love, there is a beat writer for like the Hartford Current who's like, oh, it's amazing how Donovan Clingan hasn't been able to draw a foul. His foul avoidance has been great all game. I'm like, fucking Oso's going into him every time. We're just not calling it. Like, don't get me started. But anyways, yeah, hopefully we won't lose a third straight game. But if we do, it's fine. Fuck the Big East. We have bigger fish to fry in the NCAA. So
Exactly.
that's the spin. All
Eyes
right.
on the prize.
You bet. Take care, everybody. Good to be back, Mitchie. We'll be back next week.
Yes, sir.
Oh, you didn't go. Peace. Peace.
Peace.